Welcome to the Smart Dating Academy podcast. I'm Bella Gandhi, the founder of Smart Dating Academy and your host. I started Smart Dating Academy in 2009 because I had this crazy knack of giving people dating advice that actually worked, that I took. I've been married for almost 25 years, and now my company helps people to date smarter and to find love. This podcast is meant to bring more love into your life, no matter where you are and what you do. And we're here to bring more life into your love. Smart daters, welcome to this week's podcast episode. Have you found yourself lately, you know, just feeling a little on edge, feeling a little anxious? Maybe you're thinking, is love out there for me? Maybe you're thinking to yourself, I don't know what I'm doing on these dates. And I walk into dates and I've got a pit in my stomach and I don't even want to pick up the apps because I'm just feeling anxious about dating. I'm anxious about getting hurt. Well, if any of that sounds like you, then you are going to want to download this episode, save it, because this is all about today. We're going to give you coping mechanisms for dating anxiety. And so I've brought in a great expert. His name is Kevin Mims, and Kevin counsels singles all over the place. He's based in Texas and is going to share some of his best wisdom with us today. Kevin, welcome to the Smart Dating Academy podcast.
Hi, glad to be here.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, tell us a little bit about your backstory, and then we will jump into anxiety.
Sure. So I have been doing this work since 2016. And in that time, I have worked with couples and families, but, you know, primarily individuals. And a lot of those individuals are dealing with dating anxiety and anxiety about growing up or about stepping forward into new parts of their life, whether they, you know, have always been single or are newly single. And those things are going to include anxiety. And I think it's one of those things I try to remind all my clients is that anxiety belongs with us and it can help and it can be useful. But a lot of times, all it just feels like is overwhelming static.
No, it's so true. We need anxiety to survive. If we didn't have any nervousness or fear or anxiety, we'd, you know, probably all perish pretty quickly, right?
Oh, yeah.
But it's when that fear and that worry and that anxiety spins out of control, right? And sometimes it's kind of the, I don't know if you call it real fear versus fake fear, but, you know, my daughter has anxiety and we talk about this all the time. Like, okay, is this something that you're creating in your mind or is there actually a tiger that's chasing you? So you've got to kind of figure it out. And so she's gotten much better with that, but I'm going to make sure her this podcast episode. So let's talk a little bit about dating anxiety. Where does it come from?
Well, if we think about dating, and the purpose of dating is a lot of times to find somebody to stay with,
right?
Find somebody that, you know, we belong with. And anxiety belongs there because it matters who we choose, right? And so if it matters who we choose, then it also matters that we are choosing well. And if we're trying to choose well, then trying to suss out how to do that is going to be really difficult. And we will be uncertain whether we're doing it right or not. So then that's kind of the anxiety, is that uncertainty. Like, well, things could go wrong. This is really important. But, you know, am I right on this? Am I thinking, like, does this mean what I thought it meant? Am I saying things right? Do I sound weird? Do I look weird? You know, all these kind of things would just naturally come in.
Right. So it's kind of twofold, right? It's being worried about, am I actually sitting here with somebody who's good for me? Am I missing red flags? Am I, like, how do I know if this person is telling me the truth? How do I know if they like me? So there's that anxiety coupled with our own, you know, self-talk and banter, like, oh, that was so stupid. Why did I just say that? I always mess things up. Like, why did I, you know, I just totally trauma dumped or I overshared with this person. Like, what the hell is wrong with me? My therapist told me not to do this. So it's kind of this twofold anxiety.
Right. That idea that my therapist told me not to do this always makes me laugh because a lot of times I'll encourage clients to do this or that, and then they'll inevitably come back and say, "Well, I didn't do any of that." And that's just okay, I think, anyways. But I also, a lot of times the talk I'll have with clients is about thinking through and how to think. And so I know a lot of what you guys do with Smart Dating Academy is to talk through red flags and how to notice them, and then how to kind of evaluate somebody that you're talking with. And how to think about that stuff is hard and naturally would lend itself to even more of that anxiety we talked about earlier. But whenever we are kind of having that self-talk and we're kind of in that moment on the date, maybe, and it seems like everything's kind of going wrong, I actually think that's the moment we can sit back and take a breath and think, "Oh, well, of course it's going wrong. This isn't supposed to be a script. I'm not supposed to just, flatly repeat the thing that my therapist said to do or not to do. I'm a real person here in this moment, and I'm gonna be me." But a lot of times we're afraid to show ourselves and to kind of be ourselves around people, especially someone that should be important, or we hope is important.
Right. And this can happen, especially when the stranger that we've met, all of a sudden they walk in and we're like, oh my gosh, I find myself drawn to this person or attracted to this person. Right. And suddenly, what do we do in that moment if we know we're anxious, right? In general, and we're doing our best to quell that, then we walk in and we're like, oh my God. And it all starts to flare up again. What do we do? Like, how do we talk to ourselves? How do we tamp it down?
Well, I think when somebody walks in and we can tell right away that they're more attractive, they carry themselves better, they have a presence that is more than what we were expecting, more attractive than what we were expecting, then suddenly this whole date becomes more important and it matters even more that we don't mess it all up. And so then that's just going to heighten that anxiety little spike. But I want to kind of compare that a little bit to what if somebody walks in and they're not looking very good, or they look 10 years older than the picture they took 10 years ago. And so they aren't quite what you're looking for. And imagine how that can lead you to relax a little bit. And because that can be part of what happens. Like, well, I mean, hey, that's not what I'm looking for, but I'm on this date anyways, and it'll be a could be a nice time. And so then we're able to kind of relax into that date, partly because we're not taking it all that seriously. And I'm not saying to not take the, beautiful person that walks in seriously. I'm just saying I wish that we could take a little bit of that whenever we're not as scared about it not going well, and bring it into that moment where we do really want it to go well.
Right, because to some extent, that's a great point, right? When people say, oh my gosh, I get second dates with people I don't want them with, but I can never get the second date with the people I do want. And it's kind of like, what's happening to you in that moment? And I think what I hear you saying, which I agree with, is when you put this as a low stakes thing, right? You just sort of relax into being the natural version of yourself. Right. And you're not like, oh my God, flipping yourself out. So it's not that we want you to walk into a date with somebody that, is missing a few teeth or 20 years older or 100 pounds heavier, right? Because that can also lead to anger and
And
disappointment
resentment.
also and resentment, like, wow, you lied. But I think the point that you're making is if we can lower the stakes in our own mind, like no matter what, and just right, pretend even if this person is super attractive, it's like, well, you know what? They need to earn me, right? I don't know anything else about this person besides what I see on the outside. So at that moment, kind of trying to bring yourself back down to center, to neutral, so that you can actually be your magnetic self.
Precisely. And one of the keys here, I think, is that we need to know whoever it is we want to date needs to like us. We want them to like us. And so often I'll talk to clients that worry that if they really knew me, then they wouldn't like me. And that's maybe a different sort of issue. But kind of in the context of what we're talking about here, is that like, okay, I want them to know who I am and how I would normally act. And so I need to try to do that. And then on the other hand, like you were saying, I don't even know if I like this person yet. I just think they're really attractive, or I'm just drawn to them in a certain way. But we don't know what it is we are drawn to. And it might be that, you know, they just dress really sharply. It might be that they look really nice. It might be that they remind you of somebody in your past that just carries themselves like they do. And whatever that case may be, remember you're evaluating too. And don't lose yourself to thinking that it's just so important that I get these people to like me, because that's when we can start lying to ourselves and lying to them.
That's right. And so, okay, so now we get into this moment. So if we can press redo, we walk into a date and we see somebody that's attractive and we find that pit in our stomach, like, oh my gosh, I don't want to mess this up. What can we do in that moment to remind ourselves that, you know what, it's just a date?
Well, I would usually lean into humor a little bit there. And so usually whenever I feel social anxiety for myself, I'll say something silly like, you know, I'm the prettiest girl at the prom and everyone wants to dance with me. Which, you know, I'm not. And you know, if I was gonna go to prom, I'm not the prettiest girl there, and you know, obviously. And so, but that kind of just makes me smile, like, yeah, it's stupid to be too worried about this. But I think kind of leaning into that is like, well, you don't even know if they can speak to me yet. Like, if they, I don't even know if they have all their teeth, or I don't even know if they are what I'm looking for. And so, kind of inserting some of that uncertainty, because sometimes when we see somebody, we just kind of know that they're perfect and they're everything we're looking for. And we're usually wrong about that.
No, it's so true. You know, early I had a career in finance and M&A, and I also was running a manufacturing company at a very young age after M&A. And I was thrust into leadership at an early age. And I'm a self-help book junkie, which is, you know, how a lot of how I ended up putting the whole protocol at Smart Dating Academy together. But one of the books that I read was, you know, even when you're young, whatever it is, young, old, new, walk into a room and your new mantra is expect acceptance. You belong in this room. And so every time I would walk into a new room, I would say, expect acceptance. And it would calm me down. I belong in this room because, and it stopped all of the monkey chatter in my mind, because I knew that that was my mantra that made me feel good, like expect acceptance. And when you expect it, you put yourself in a different mindset. And I became it, you know, viewed as a great and very competent leader. And nobody looked at me as you're a 27-year-old or you're a 29-year-old or a 31-year-old. It was, you really know what you're doing, and we're in good hands. And
I love
so
that.
expect acceptance. And daters, I share this with you. Take my mantra, expect acceptance on every date that you go on, whether it's in person, whether it's on video, whether you're getting on the phone with somebody, right? Just expect it, and that will automatically calm you down. Write it on a post-it note, write it on your hand. Put it in lipstick on your mirror. I don't care. But from today on, I want you to expect acceptance no matter what. And you're going to put the steering wheel back into your own hands. Like Kevin and I are talking about, it's not jumping through hoops, wondering how am I going to please this person that I'm sitting here with. It's, you know what? This is an attractive person, and I'm really happy to be here in this moment. But it's just a first date, and they need to earn me.
Absolutely. And I love what you said about accepting acceptance. And I'd like to kind of tie together that idea with my idea about saying a small joke to yourself or something like that. And I think what that commonality is that it is past time to worry about this. You've already prepared for your date. And if you've prepared for your date, then you've probably done some things with your hair. You've probably maybe corrected your makeup, or you probably made sure you're dressed properly for the venue you're going to. and you made sure to prepare for that. And so the anxiety is meant to help us to think through all the things that we need to think through, you know. And once we get to where we're going and we're kind of at the meeting already, we're at the date already, then it's past that time. And it's time instead to expect acceptance. And
yeah.
So you've done everything you need to do and you're ready.
And do you recommend any, you know, sometimes I tell people it's just like deep breathe before you go on a date, like put yourself into a good mode. I like humor. I like inside jokes with yourself. I'm the prettiest girl at the prom. You're like, wow, I'm not even a girl. Ha ha. And I would never wear pink taffeta, but exactly. I am.
Of course.
Yeah, I am cool. One of the things that I like people to do is put themselves, have a dating routine before they go out on a date. And it's like changing your state before the date. You know what? Having like, maybe you're going to spray some cologne on, you're going to brush your teeth, you're going to change into something new. Ladies, you're going to put on a berry lipstick because you know we love that.
Yeah.
And maybe having a playlist that you always listen to that puts you into that good, fun mindset before the date. So having a ritual that puts you into a fun, non-anxious mode, and that will really help you prior to the date. I welcome your thoughts on that.
I like the idea. And music can help draw us to where it is, right? And so our bodies just kind of respond to the music. If it's very kind of upbeat, good tempo music, then it's going to kind of pull us that way. And if it's, you know, slower and a little more melancholy, it'll pull us that way too. And so sometimes when you're experiencing life and you're feeling very sad, but it's not the right time for that, then consider putting on music that changes that and kind of alters that. But then whenever you're getting ready for a date, put on music that puts you in that frame of mind, where it's like, okay, I'm excited, I'm ready, and you know, I'm going to be myself here at this date. And then on the breathing side of that, you know, one of the biggest complaints I get from clients is that, you know, everyone says just take deep breaths, but it never works for me. And I want to put that out there. I know that it is not always as useful as we hope it will be when we try it. But I also want to say that it is something you can do for yourself right then that might be the very limit of what you can do to help yourself. Your body needs the oxygen. Your body needs this breath, and that's something you can interact with. And so giving yourself that space to just say, I'm just going to take a slow, deep breath. You know, just like the music, that's pulling you in that direction you want to be. It's a calmer breath, right? You're not hyperventilating. You're not doing anything too over the high energy and over the top there. But instead, you're pulling yourself through these elongated breaths, and you kind of do have to practice that for it to be available to you when you do need it in high anxious moments.
Yeah. And talk about the role of self-compassion in dating and anxiety.
Yeah. That's a big one, because it comes down to expectations. Am I supposed to be really good at being single and dating? Well, I hope not, because my goal in being single and dating is to kind of get out of that space. And that means that every time I'm going out with somebody new, I'm kind of singing a new song. I'm trying to do something I haven't really quite done before. And anytime I'm doing something I haven't quite done before, I'm not going to be good at it. But that's part of that benefit of having your ritual and having these things that help you get into that space and frame of mind, is that it is something you've done before and it can help you kind of draw you to where you want to be. But you're not supposed to be very good at having conversation with somebody you've never spoken with before. And so then the self-compassion plays into that, because like, well, if I perform according to expectations here, which is that I'm not supposed to be very good, then I am where I'm supposed to be. And if you get there, it's like, oh, I can't believe I made that mistake again. I trauma dumped again. You can give yourself that space and kind of laugh and say, man, I can't believe I just did all that. You know, and I told myself I wouldn't do it, but you know, here I am and I'm sorry. Can you tell me something about you? You know, like you can kind of turn that mistake that you think you've made there into you actually just being relaxed in yourself and considerate of them, as well as mindful of the things that have happened in your life.
Yeah, I love that. And right, if you find yourself talking too much and then you catch yourself, right? Most people, you know, I know that there are a lot of people out there that have been on a lot of dates with people that don't have that self-awareness and they just use the date as like a monologue, right? Because like that a date's a conversation. It's like a tennis match. The ball should go back and forth over the net. So if you find yourself monopolizing the conversation or, you know, saying something that might be an overshare, right? It's like catch yourself and say, oh my gosh, that was a lot. Okay, that was a lot for me too. Tell me something that's not a lot, right? And catch yourself and make a joke out of it and show that you have some self-awareness. And that comes from self-compassion, right? It's like, okay, yeah, wow, whiffed again. That's okay. Let me make a joke out of it.
Oh, yeah. Well, and that's part of that self-awareness is part of who you can be too, right? And part of who you might be trying to grow into being is the more self-aware you are, then the more you'll be able to catch those moments where you're talking too much, or you realize that my goal was to come in here and have a conversation, but you know, I'm talking too much, or maybe this other person's talking too much. And you know, so it's like kind of stepping into that and saying, like, hey, I'd like to, you know, I realize I'm talking too much. I'm sorry, that was a mistake. But I'd like to hear more about you. And then you know, we can talk about the converse too, where it's like if they're talking too much, you can, you know, say, yeah, hey, that's a really great story. You mind if I tell you one about me? You know, it's like you can kind of catch those moments and pull yourself back to that alignment, in alignment with where you're wanting it to go. And that's all part of kind of us being us and being kind of driven by our values and what we're looking for.
Yeah, I love that. And if you find yourself after the date berating yourself, right? How do we develop more self-compassion in that moment? How do we catch it and reframe it?
Well, I'd like you to remember that you weren't the only person there. And sometimes the way that we interact on a date or in a conversation with a friend, but we're talking about dates here, is that, you know, you go down a road, and if this person's a good connection for you, then there will be that interplay. We'll have a conversation, and sometimes they'll help us catch ourselves, or they'll be interesting, and we'll kind of go back and forth. And so sometimes when we end a date, or where the date's over, and we're thinking, man, I made all of these mistakes, we fail to recognize that some part of what we're doing is how we're responding to this person on the, in the date with us, and how they're responding to us.
Exactly. And sometimes they may not even evaluate what you think is a mistake as a mistake. Like you're saying,
Very
there was
true.
somebody else there. There have been so many times where I will, you know, as a self-admittedly anxious person, we all get social anxiety. Like I'll leave. I'm like, oh, why did I say that in that way? And I will shoot a text to the person just saying, hey, you know what? I'm really sorry. I felt like I blah, blah, blah. And, you know, my sincere apologies. And oftentimes people will say, what are you talking about?
I love those. And that's part of that's kind of just reality checking your anxiety a bit. And anxiety can isolate us. Right. And dating anxiety can really isolate us. And this is the kind of thing that if we get in the habit of kind of fact checking ourselves, then it can free us of that anxiety and checking in and saying, like, hey, I thought when I was talking about this, I just kind of overrun you and interrupted you. I'm really sorry about that. Then it shows us where our values are, how we care about that. And then it kind of gives them that chance to respond. And hopefully a lot of those times people respond warmly, but if they don't, then you've learned something else about them. And that might impact your evaluation of whether or not they're a good fit for you.
That's right. That's right. So much about relationships long term is having compassion and forgiveness for your partner, because you've been married a long time. I've been married a long time. Marriage is kind of a giant exercise in forgiveness, right?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
And forgiving each other for accepting each other, right? And
Yeah.
so
Yeah.
when somebody says that they're sorry about something, right? And even if they did wrong you, right? That's your exercise. And okay, you know what? Can we let it go? It doesn't mean you can forgive,
Absolutely.
but you don't have to forget. It doesn't mean you have to give somebody a second date again.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah, we don't forgive people for being right. We forgive people for being wrong. Right. And it's important, I think, that we know that when we do need to forgive people, that other person did me wrong. And that, and so I can forgive them. I can extend that grace to them. But it's not, because a lot of times people will say, well, I can really only forgive you if I kind of agree with what you did. Well, that means that really forgiveness. That at some point, that's just saying, like, yeah, you were right. You're almost asking them to forgive you, which is unfair.
Right, exactly. And you can't do that. Is there any, are there any kind of last things that you can leave with us, maybe that I didn't ask you, like things that you think can really help us before, during, or after the date? And it doesn't even have to be a romantic date, right? It can be meeting a new parent at school. It can be walking into a work event. It can be volunteering someplace, right? This social anxiety is real, and it comes from this desire to want to be accepted.
Oh yeah. And it's a big challenge for lots of folks. As a, as a planet, we went through this experience a few years ago where everyone was more isolated than they'd probably ever been before. And in that time period, I believe that there's a major uptick in social anxiety. And I'm hearing more about that than I ever did before. And, even experienced some of that myself in a way I hadn't before. And so that's part of what I wanted everyone to remember, is that we are coming out of a time period that created partly this specific challenge for us, because we got out of the habit of meeting together and being around each other. But at the same time, when you are going out into your community, into the place you're living, or out on dates or whatever it is, just remember that you want to put your best foot forward, and that you will and probably have already prepared to do that. And all you're doing right now is the best that you can do, and you can evaluate how it went later. But for now, just be where you are, and you can hope that the other person will be where they are too. But they're probably experiencing a lot of the same kind of anxiety you are. And so when they're experiencing that anxiety, some people shut down. Some people feel more, they just chat a lot more about kind of nothing, but they're talking a lot. Some people they kind of get really analytical and start thinking very kind of like answers, and like, here's what we got to do. And then some people just get more angry than normal, and they're more likely to complain. And whenever somebody else experiences anxiety, it's okay if you don't like how they present themselves. If this beautiful person walks in and, you're so excited to meet them, so excited to be on this date, and they open their mouth and all they really want to talk about is how bad their work is, it's okay not to like that. You've just met this person. That's not really kind of what you were hoping for. And you might get the sense in that time period that they have more to them than this kind of talk, in which case you might feel open to giving them another date. But you might instead say, like, well, they're really beautiful, but yikes, I can't do this. It's like, I can't just be this person's therapist
Yeah.
all the time. And so just be aware that evaluation is ongoing, and remember that it's two people, and you're not just trying to be the perfect thing that tricks somebody else into liking you. You're trying to be yourself because you want them to like you and who you really are. And that authenticity is so important. And you are hoping that they will be their authentic self too. And, earlier you were talking about, how do I know if they're telling the truth? Well, if you think somebody's lying to you, you probably ought to just ask. It's like, I don't really understand what you were saying. It doesn't, like, I must be confused. You don't need to come in assuming that, I think you're lying to me. If you
Right.
do that, then, that's one of those things saying, just, hey, you were in a space where you couldn't hold that back, and that's all right. That's part of where you were that day. But you can ask about things you feel uncertain about, and maybe they'll clear it up. Or maybe they'll say something that convinces you that they're really shady and not to be trusted, in which case, good. It's good both ways. Right. And so it's like, just recognize that you're here to see if a relationship is possible. You are part of that. So you want to put your best foot forward. They're part of it too. But then also the way that the two meet together and interact is part of it. And that's true for dating. That's true for friends. That's true for our family. And anxiety is just part of what comes with that.
Yeah, no, it's so true. I would tell you guys, in addition to that, right? It is, most people aren't right for you, and that's okay, right? And just keep that in mind. We're not here to round peg square hole ourselves, right?
Yes.
And be performative. And to your point, Kevin, we're not trying to turn ourselves into like me, pick me, like me, pick me. No,
Right.
you most people aren't right for you, and all you can do on these dates is bring the best version of yourself,
Yeah.
be empathic to yourself, to the other person, be interested, be interesting, and know, I tell our clients all the time, just act like you're going out to meet a prospective new friend. Take the
Yeah.
pressure off of yourself. And then how do you feel in the presence of this person? Did you
Yeah.
feel like you had fun? Did you feel like this
Yeah.
person was interesting, that they were interested in you, right? And self-assess that as well, right? You're not there to please anybody. And think about how you feel after the date.
Oh, yeah. It's like when you come back from a date and you're feeling really relaxed, like, man, that was pretty fun. Like, that's a perfect kind of date. And sometimes there won't be a date after that, but you've had a great time. And so that's telling you something about what you value, what you're looking for. And so then even if you don't get a second date with that person or another date with that person, you can be looking for that in other dating experiences too. You can bring some of that energy and kind of who you were in that experience into those other places, and then maybe you can have more dates like it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Kevin, this was wonderful. Thank you so much. I'm certainly feeling less anxious now, and I've got some good tools to go forward.
Well, I'm really glad for that. Thank you so much for having me. And yeah, I'm excited for when this comes out to listen.
That's amazing. So, smart daters, if you are feeling that dating anxiety and you need a helping hand, remember that's what we're here for. We're here to wrap you in pink, sparkly bubble wrap and hold your hands through this process to help you lower your anxiety, tell you where your anxiety is merited, and maybe it's time to cut somebody off, learn how to use your voice and ask the questions and say the things that you want to say, and ultimately pick a person that loves you for you and makes you feel really safe and supported. So if you're ready to take that big plunge, send us a message at Smart Dating Academy. We're here for you. We are here to be the personal trainer for your love life. So, Kevin, thank you again for being an amazing guest on the podcast. And dear listeners, I bid you farewell and weeks full of love until we meet again.
Thanks for listening. And as always, download us, share us, show us the love. Follow Instagram at Smart Dating Academy. And if you or someone you know wants to learn more, check out our website at smartdatingacademy.com. We're here to bring you love.